This is Luca Maino. We're back. Oh, that was quick. I missed the introduction. We're back on Luca's World. I hope everybody's doing well. We have another jam-packed show this week. And I'm going to sit here and try and relax a little bit myself because we kind of got thrown on air real quick. And we're doing good. We're really doing good. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm pretty proud of what I'm hearing. And I'll say it first, on the Red Pill Politics with Dave Kopasz. It was absolutely awesome from what I could hear because I was running around trying to prepare my show. I get a chance to call in, you know, and what they were talking about, it's like, you know, what's coming and what's coming and what's coming. Well, my idea is that you can't understand what's coming, if you don't understand what has happened before and what literally prepared everything and paved the way. Today, either today and or today alone or in the next two shows, I will be dropping some pretty heavy bombs as far as I'm not going to call them truth bombs. I'm going to call them bombs that kind of give you an idea of what we did not know. And it's one thing, and I'm going to say it real quick. It's one thing talking about something and, you know, sharing something secondhand. Yeah, okay. Well, it's another thing hearing it from the person himself, okay? So that's coming up on the show. Ernst Dundl, it's like I'm going to be, it's almost as if I would be interviewing him because he's going to be saying exactly the most important things of his interview with an Israeli reporter. And that's going to be probably at the bottom of the hour. I'm not sure how we're going to do this yet, but there's a lot to share. We'll see how it goes. We have to start from the beginning. And the beginning for me was to say thank you to, again, to the Red Pill Politics and Dave Kopasz for taking my call. And it wasn't an eagle feather that I found either. It was a barn owl feather. I made a mistake. I thought it was an eagle feather, but it was a small barn owl feather. So that brings in what they call a change, a significant change in your life ahead. And I found it this morning while I was on the air, while I was on the phone call talking, you know, to Dave. So today, let's start here. Rethink everything. And we're going to talk about health real quick also. Rethink everything. I'm talking using your mind, exercising your brain. For me, I'm making myself challenges all the time. Never fall into a routine. No. Change it. If you feel like you're falling into a routine, change it. Keep your spirit as young as you can. And this is all going to make sense. You'll see. I'm making myself write notes by hand. No iPhone. Because my spirit says no. Every time you want to walk, leave it there. It'll be there when you get back, okay? And you'll also, you know, need to set an example for others right now. So, yes, write this down. Make sure you talk about it on the show. Leave your iPhone alone. The less iPhone and computers, more outside. Let's see, fresh air, exercise, walks, breathing. And I have that trick for the kids also, for parents with kids with phones. You have a little basket on the side of the door. And when they come in, you point to the basket and you say, phone off, in the basket, off and in the basket. Or you don't come in the room, period. That solves that story. Okay? We have to think of walking straight and we have to understand what the powers that be, as Dave was talking about so well, so eloquently, and Roger Landry after him, what they were talking about. What do they want to kill? Our ability to think, our ability to develop tongue fu. That's right, tongue fu. I got it from somebody else. I love that line, tongue fu. It's like how to be sharp with the tongue and the time that you have, okay? It's pretty awesome. So I'm sitting here getting better in my health, or with my health. And I'm really seeing how they're taking advantage of us. You know, why don't we start here? Okay. It's true. Key Truda. You know, move forward with Fazenra, you know, or Lebalvi, or let's see, Sky Rizzi. Oh, sky's the limit with Sky Rizzi, okay? Watch the commercials. Watch Big Pharma commercials. If you want to do something for me, watch them with the volume off, okay? What do you see? It's charismatic. It's really well produced, probably millions in production. A video of what you'd see in a health store or a health spa or something. You know, it's like, you know, look at what all you can do. You know, if you have us in your life, you know, if you buy more of our products, this is what we promise you. This is the life we promise you, right? And it's all an illusion. We have to really pay attention. And I'm sitting there preparing the show, and I watched those three or four commercials. Yes, Keytruda, Lebalvi, Sky Rizzi, and Fazenra also in the span of the time I was sitting there. And I said, you know what? There's a good idea. I usually watch TV with the volume down or off now. That's how I learn most. In the second half hour, we're going to hear somebody very important talk about karma in a completely different way with a beautiful accent. And before I give out the numbers to start to call, why don't we start here? Oh, we also have to ask for donations as well. Very important. Go to donations. Okay, so last week, very quickly, we spoke about it was kind of an overview of what's coming in the next two shows, hopefully, if this all works out, with a good friend of mine, Wolfgang. And I wanted to salute him, reiterate what we talked about. And, of course, you know, it was Hitler's birthday also yesterday in 1889 on the 20th of April. There's no 20th of April that I know of around here that goes by without thinking of that, because if everybody else has a birthday, he does too. And I just wanted to thank Wolfgang for his input on the last show. And you can hear it in the archives. If you go to my name in the archives, you'll hear the last week's show. And guess what? I developed a premise for Luca's world. I developed a premise. I kid you not. And this is how it goes. Everything is related. Okay? And everyone is related. I thought that was pretty cool. Let me say it again. Everything is related. As or and is, you know, everyone is related. So, no matter where you look, in the good or the bad, and that's where karma is going to come in, right? Everything's related, and all of us are related. So the more we are torn to pieces by the powers that be, the more you go, hey, whoa, okay, I'm getting it. You know what I mean? I'm understanding this. And this is where I have to dive down deep. We have to really dive down deep. And in my disclaimer, that's what I promise. It's going to be the truth to the best of my ability. It's going to be useful to you, and it's going to be necessary. And there's hardly anything more necessary than one of the most important shows or subjects that I've ever done on any of my shows until now. And it took me 20 years of not researching, but of terrifying strength building to come to this point. Okay? The numbers to call are 512-248-8252. And 1-800-313-9443, and I'm not even in chat mode. There we go. Call started. Okay. So this is all really important, and we need help from you, the listener, because this is all listener supported. And if you could just call with a donation or hit the donate button, the yellow, bright orange, or nice looking donate button on top on the left hand corner, if you could. It would be great, because that's going to ensure that we keep going. And I'm going to be doing that as well in my budget. I have no choice, because it's an honor to pay for the, you know, survival of something that's so important coming up. And I'm really loving what I'm hearing when I get a chance to hear RBN. Or donate by calling 800-724-2719 extension 3. And I have to say it like that. Recording does 800-724-2719 extension 3. Really, really deep voice. I got to love it. I love saying that. And it's good to come back and say stuff like that on every show as the surfing song at the bottom of the hour. You know, to donate by mail, please make checks and money orders payable to RBN and send them to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And thank you very much for that. So, we dive in with health, okay? I'm going to give you one example on health because things are so important and things are flying around so fast. This is a third eye fact. You actually have three brains in your body. The largest is your gut, which controls intuition. The second largest one is your heart, which controls empathy. And the smallest one is your brain in your head, which controls logic. Now, which one do you think that they want to work on and have us use the most? Huh? And this is what they're doing. They're dumbing us down, literally. So the people that are strong, the people that, you know, I listen to these callers that call in and that, you know, that are overexpressive. Why don't a call be made to people like them to have shows of their own? You know, the callers that really like calling all the time, you always hear them calling. They're the ones that should have shows of their own. Because it's very important to have all voices heard. Okay? And a lot of my shows have to do with logic, with empathy, with intuition. And without further ado, let's jump to the first caller already. Andy in Texas, how are you doing? This is Lucas World. Good afternoon. Yes, I always want to say good morning because that's when it used to be. How are you doing?
Well, hey, first off, Lucas, do you get these 2 hours from Scorpio?
I'm getting 1 hour for now, and we'll see about two as we go. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Well, it's just great to hear you back on there. I did make a post for you. I called Frank. You can ask Frank. Saturday, I called him, and I did. I voiced my opinion. Nothing derogatory. I just, you know, I like you. And the one thing that I really like about you is how close you are to the world. You're not close to the society that we live in. You're close to the world. You're close to the ground that you step on. You're close to the founding fathers of life. And we are so distant from that. We have this entire story that they've taught us in our indoctrination clinics called schools. We've heard so many different ways of who we are and what we are and whatnot. And you've managed to find that inner self. And that's part of that Indian, connection that you have and whatnot. And I really value that. And I think people should value that because where you're coming from really makes sense. The entire connection to the world and the animals and the things around you, you know, we're all so busy with everything else besides that. And it's really nice to have, you know, somebody can bring us down the connection. And I'm so glad you're back on the radio, bro. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for that. And this is for him, what you just heard on the call, okay? Instinct. What did I just say before the call? What are they trying to kill? Instinct. How are they trying to kill instinct? Okay, let's see. Alcohol is one of them, okay? Ego is another big one. Jeez, get another radio show host with a big ego and watch him, you know, throw everybody out the wrong way. Oral tradition is one of the most important things that the caller just mentioned. Our interconnectedness to one another. Oh, no, can't have that. No, let's fight. Bring in blood quantum in the Indians. Have them assimilate or exterminate. I kid you not, this is where the show is going, folks. Thank you so much for the call, though.
Well, one more follow-up thing here. They want us to believe the way they want us to believe, and they're arrogant in what they're doing simply because you can see this. I mean, look, they gave us Obama and Michael Obama, and we can totally tell that's a man, Michael Robinson, blah, 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 whatever. But they're doing all this stuff, and it's totally 100% arrogant. They don't give a rat's behind what the heck we want in our world. They only care about what they're trying to initiate here, and they're going to get it one way or the other.
And that's the premise of my show, and we have to prepare each other. You should have heard Dave was so spot on in the Red Pill Politics. He was saying how, you know, no, it's not going to be prayer-filled, and no, it's not going to be a peaceful ending, guys. No. Get armed, get to know your capabilities, you know, learn how to protect your family and yourself first and foremost against the violence that you're not going to create. Okay. Oh yeah. It's good stuff on that show too. I got to tell them. Yes, sir.
Well, hey, thanks, Luca. You have a great show. I love it. I'm glad. Hopefully you get that extra hour.
I'll see if I can. Yeah, I was going to try and weasel my way in there back again, but this is taking a two-hour show is a big step because you have to, you know, I don't know how much I listen to somebody. Two-hour show.
You'll be good.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Later.
Thank you so much. I take metformin for the diabetes that was caused by hydrochlorothiazide. Oh, yeah, I take that for blood pressure, which I got from Ambien. I take that for insomnia, and that was caused by the Xanax that I take, you know, for the anxiety that I got with the Wellbutrin that I take for chronic fatigue. And I got that from, you know, from the Lipitor that I take, too. All that because a healthy diet and exercise with the regular chiropractic care visit and superior nutritional supplements, it's just too much trouble. Right? And that's okay. God goes, okay, fine. You're not taking care of your body like that. Okay, you want to take 27 pills a day? Go right ahead. And, you know, we'll take notes. You know what I mean? Fine. That's where this is where our life is coming to. It's like, you know, do what you have to do to save yourself and the ones you love, or kiss everything goodbye, because that's where it's going. And in the first clip that we're going to hear today, you're going to hear about the plandemic industry. The what? The plandemic industry. As I was feeling and saying from the beginning. Oh, and we've got to hurry up before the first break, before the first commercial. All this has nothing to do with health. Masks had nothing to do with health. They're there to poison us. PCR tests are there to lie to us. They were not necessary, and they weren't even involved in anything. They shouldn't have been used. Injections are slow kill for the depopulation agenda. This entire pandemic treaty that demands all countries sign on, it's fraudulent. It's as fraudulent as COVID was. And the simple intent behind it, as you will hear from the clip, from an international lawyer, was corrupt. And it was all about control. Okay? It was all about control. Let me throw this in before we play this. So much so that, you know, all of a sudden something takes place. You know, when everybody signs on, when all the countries of the world sign on to this pandemic treaty, plandemic treaty, just like COVID was, right? It's going to be a fraud. This one entity is going to be able to control everyone in, quote, said countries, unquote, making sure that the authorities are in place to police this, quote, takeover, unquote. Even the courts, as you will hear from this international lawyer, even the courts, they're bought off, or they're told to stand down, or both. And others like George Soros are sitting there making sure our maximum damage is done to the country in the shortest amount of time. This is what they're here for. We're here to heal and fix the world, and these people are here to destroy it. Let me tell you, and now, let's invent a whole new industry for Big Pharma, shall we? While we're sickening everybody, oh, we haven't profited enough. Let's roll out something called the pandemic industry, and let's have a listen to this first clip. Thank you to the producer.
It is not about health, this entire WHO new treaty, but it's about creating a new pandemic industry.
In this episode, I sit down with Swiss attorney Philip Cruz, who specializes in international law. He's examined, line by line, the New World Health Organization's pandemic treaty and amendments to the international health regulations.
The general director will be given much more discretion to declare a public health emergency and to maintain it without any mechanism that could stop him from doing so, or even that would force him to justify his decision.
Are the treaties really non-binding, as the WHO maintains?
As long as WHO will maintain the special status of pandemic, public health emergency of international concern, our politicians and our courts will step back from doing their own careful assessment and will not put in question what they recommended.
It's such nonsense. It's so politically correct. You know, you hear the words that they use, it's all politically correct, okay? You've heard it first on this show. I had to say that. I had to say what I thought about that clip, because this is what's coming. So we have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of our health. We have to make sure that we take the right supplements for our health. Make sure we talk to people that know, not doctors. The white coats are just there, you know, they're just, can I say this? The white coats are probably among the biggest gatekeepers of the New World Order, okay? To say the least. So now we have Indian country. I'm going to have you jump to Indian country, and you'll see why. Okay? Because in Indian country, and we're talking about Native America, okay? The Native Americans are just as bought off and are just as corrupt as the bunch, as the capitalist oppressors that they learned so well from. Okay? Elder's meditation of the day. You're going, oh, wow, okay, this is going to be good for April 10th. Oh, boy. Are you ready for this? This is the caveat that opens up the second half hour of my show, okay? Elder's meditation of the day. Quote, together we can end the Holocaust against the environment. Unquote. Coming from Haida Gwaii traditional circle of elders that I probably would have gotten kicked out of if I would have had my chance to say something. Which you shouldn't, because they're elders, Luca. How dare you even say something like that? Let me continue first before I rant, okay? We are all familiar, it says. We are all familiar with the Holocaust against the people. When this happens, we feel bad, and we vow never to let it happen again. We need to seriously examine. You know what? I could actually write a whole show for every single one of those lines. We need to seriously examine what human beings are doing to the earth and the environment. Oh, yes, it's so true, you know. Hide it behind the biggest lie, which is what we were told about the Holocaust. Not that it did not happen. It was, they lied to us about everything. So they lied to us about what happened in the Holocaust. And we're finding this out in the second part of the show today, hopefully next week as well. Many species are extinct, back to the letter, right? Many species are extinct, and many more will be extinct in the next 10 years. We are methodically eliminating life that will never return again, okay? Guilt trip. That's not true. I am not doing that. No. People like me are not doing that. People like me are policing against people that do stuff like this. But anyway, throw us in there too. Today we should take time to pray real hard so that we wake up before it's too late. As if praying is going to do any good? Right. Sit there and pray. Okay. Yeah. While they knock the door down, you know? No. Okay. This, you know, it sounds like you're going into, you know, those beautiful halls with the fancy monitor systems and the gigantic TV screens that you can see, you know, and there's, you know, John Hagee and Olstein, right? Telling us all, you know, stand down, accept our chains. Accept our slavery, accept the usury, because they're making so much money from it. And God knows how much they're profiting from the Holocaust. Also, the lies that were perpetrated, the lies that were told to us. Some of us have to develop the courage, the quiet courage of talking about it until we're silenced. But see, that's what happens. When you find something like this, it makes people leave you, literally. The strength of the find makes people just take off, you know, like in the cartoons. No one wants to be associated with this find of yours, because they all know the consequences, you know. Oh, once you hear about it, don't you have to do something about it, or you're no better than they are? You know, so there's something awfully wrong here. Wow, you know, yeah, maybe I should write to the Haida Gwaii traditional circle of elders and teach them about, or actually give them a copy of this show. That would be nice. You know, I'm done. It's like, you know, if I, Luca Mino, coming from a Jewish family, can admit what, you know, these people have done throughout our time, and I can repudiate it, then anybody can. And this is what we need. We need to wake people up and go, no, we've been lied to about everything, dude. Everything. Wake up, you know, pat, everything, okay? Not just this and that. And this is what takes us to the second half hour because, you know, somebody's got to do something about this. It's like we have to start somewhere. And, you know, wow. I'm preparing my show on Ernst Dundel and the lies of the Holocaust that we were told, okay? And I'm sitting there reading through a prayer from the elders talking about that. I don't know if you can imagine the slap in the face. It's pretty horrific. So we're going to wait for the beginning of the half hour to play the clips after the breaks because, first of all, it's very heavy. Second of all, I have to do an intro to it and also to Ernst Dundel himself, which is a monument. So bear with me as we go through this. And it's, you know, I'm inviting people to cross-reference this stuff. You know, I even wrote it down. I'm asking everybody that's listening to this show, you know, does this fit with your research or with your intuition? What do you think? You know, again, Luca's walking on the beach with all of you. He picks up a rock and he goes, wow, look, this is what I found. Guys, what do you think? Oh, Luca found something. Everything stops, right? Luca, what did you find? Here, look at this. What do you think? What we're going to hear is an incredible story from an incredible man who was hated, jailed, his house firebombed, you know, threats in jail as well for what he knew. I'm going, okay, wow, it sounds pretty important. What, you know, a gentleman of sorts. An in-depth analysis is what I'm offering of Ernst Dundel's writings. And that this is what I'm doing. I've gave myself the responsibility of going through his two-hour interviews. One of them I'm working on now that I took apart for everybody here for this show and the next one in four clips. We're going to hear clip one and two today, if we're lucky, from his Dundel house in Canada in 1996. Faced with a polite but young and sometimes arrogant reporter, you're going to hear him talk about everything that is forbidden, his work that is forbidden. You're not even allowed to have this stuff in court. It's Arbeit. Die Verboten ist, you know, his work that is forbidden. Or you can hear it also in German called Verbotene Arbeit. It's forbidden work. What good timing. We'll be right back. This is Lucas World. I'm hearing that music.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Uh-oh. Here comes my surfing song again.
Yep.
I'm 13 years old, okay, and I'm surfing. I'm at the top of the wave, and I get pulled back from behind, only to get flown down the wave at about 30, 35 miles an hour. I kid you not, the best wave I ever took in my entire life. And I just happened to be taking it with Steve recently, and we know the drill on this story, and it's one of the most beautiful ones I've lived through in a long time. And we have Lynn from Maryland on the show before we get into the deeper stuff. How are you today?
I am wonderful, and thank you for the joy you bring to my life. I have a really quick question for you, Luca. Thank you. Long time ago, you mentioned a supplement that you use, like a powder that's fruit and vegetables or something.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yes. It's called Balance of Nature, and I'm not here to push them, okay? But okay. I've been on Balance of Nature for since the second day I came out of the hospital. And I did not take it the way they say to take it either. This is why they probably refused me as to do a commercial for them, because I told them that flat out. I did not take it the way you prescribed it, and there's a reason for that. Go to balanceofnature.com, and you'll see 13 or 15 fruits and vegetables, or 15 and 16, or different fruits and different vegetables that are made by a doctor specifically that go well together. And you take them, you can put them, open up the capsules and put them on your food. You can put them on your salad. You can put them in your yogurt. And I put them on my eggs. It's absolutely wonderful. And that made me skyrocket right away because it's healthy. And it was a choice. It's less than $2 a day. It's $70 a month.
No, perfect. Can you get it from a store, or you only get it online?
No, you get it online. Balanceofnature.com.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That you answer my question, because I can't juice. I don't have the ability in my house now.
I understand.
I definitely need something.
Yes,
all right,
it's really
bless
awesome.
Your heart, thank you, and I enjoyed the wave with you.
Good. Every week.
I love you. Thank you.
Creator willing. Love you, too. Thank you so much.
Okay,
and we are going to do everything we're doing in good spirit and in good karma, you know. And you're going to hear Ernst Zündel talk about karma, and I love it. And I think that's going to be clip two, if I'm not mistaken. So I really would like to explain very quickly. I'm doing this specifically for those and only those Germans of that time period. That's who I'm doing all this work for. And also to remember this, and this is a quote you're going to hear from him, and I have to say it before you hear it. Fewer Jews died in the entire war than we, the British, killed in one bombing raid on one German city in one night, namely Dresden. Okay? This is where the entire other side of the coin is going to be given to you today, if you want it. If you don't, please shut the radio off now or do something. Because while we dump on Adolf Hitler in order to kiss butt to the New World Order initiative with the new EU and the WEF nonsense, they're doing all that so they can sit at the table together and order everybody else around. It's criminal nonsense. Everybody knows it, but nobody really knows where it came from. Okay? That's why they trashed people like him and good people like Gaddafi, like Assad, you know, and all the good leaders, okay? We have to pay attention. So, with this information, this goes, oh, you know, okay, well, compartmentalizing. People that know me, they know that I'm good at that. Oh, that fits in this box. Oh, that goes over here. Nuremberg, yeah. The kangaroo court, he calls Nuremberg. I beg your pardon? The kangaroo court, okay? You're going to hear it in his own words. So, what we're going to do is... The intro is here. Okay. So let's listen to clip one, in which you're going to hear, first of all, the myth of Israel. Then you're going to hear about the hypocrisy of the modern Jew and what the Holocaust problem really is. Let's have a listen to clip one.
There's a book out called The Founding Myths of the Israeli State. Mm-hmm. I've got an article here by Yehuda Bauer, Auschwitz, The Dangers of Distortion, in which he talks about the founding myths of the Israeli state and the early Zionists that inflated the numbers in Auschwitz. And now, embarrassingly, they have to reduce them from 4 million to 1.1 million or 1.5 million, depending on whose lies you want to believe. Power is about power, you know, whether you're the Stern Gang or somebody else, and murderous thugs are murderous thugs. So you are a state that is also founded in myths, and one of the myths is that you are the persecuted people, you know. I'll tell you that the Jews inflicted as much pain as it was inflicted on them. You have no copyright on pain. Once you're wise to the parasitism reflected, for instance, in these books by Nahum Goldman, of how they pulled the wool over the European eyes and got the Germans sucked into the reparation racket. Here is the president of the World Jewish Congress, man, spilling it all out. Here are the West German reparations to Israel.
This is, I just want to visualize, that's a book, that's a Nahum Goldman, the Jewish Paradox book.
Jewish Paradox. This one here is one of the most amazing books by Tom Segev.
The 7 Million, the Israelis and the Holocaust by Tom Segev.
Tom Segev.
Did you learn from, I know him very well. Yeah. What did you learn from that book?
What a despicable liar, for instance, Menachem Begin was. That Menachem Begin ran around Israel election campaigning, talking about how he saw his father shot by the river Bug, how the river was red with blood, and then his sister is being interviewed, and she says, Menachem was already gone to the Soviet Union by that time. He wasn't around to see anything. In other words, here's the Prime Minister of Israel, formerly on a wanted poster by the British for being a cutthroat gangster, lying his face off to the people of Israel, agitating them, abusing them. And that's the caliber of leaders that I'm afraid have to give no moral lectures to German people, whether my generation or my father's generation. Let me give you the case of another Jew, yes. Solomon Morel. 60 Minutes did a show on him. Now, John Sack is a Jew from New York. He wrote this book about this Jewish murderer in Poland that was in charge of a concentration camp after the war, reporting in here how he would beat with table legs these Germans that were under his care to death, because he says, they killed my parents in Auschwitz. First of all, the jury is still out if they really did kill him. How the hell did he know him? Did he know that? The fact is that here was a Jew who had power over Germans. Within the war wasn't even over when he began his work. And he committed these crimes that in Poland, in this little town where he did his evil deeds, there are over 540 death certificates that he issued himself for people that died in his camp and he was there. Now,
oh, it got cut out. Okay.
There's a book out called The Founding Myths of the Israeli State.
Oh, that's back to the beginning again, no? Oh. The program crashed and we had to bring it back up. I'm just repeating to everybody what happened. And that always does happen when truth comes out. You can start playing it wherever you want, or I can keep going. It's up to you. I'm talking to the producer at the moment. Yeah, we're just going to give him a few seconds to get it back on track. The system crashed, I guess. And we'll take it from there. He was talking about the hypocrisy of the modern Jew also, which was to come. And about the Holocaust problem, there definitely is a problem. It's more than just numbers also. And I'll just wait for the clip to start to stop speaking. Okay. Yeah, we were playing it. Okay, so he's got it downloaded. The end of the clip is pretty important because he talks about the German pride and he asks, you know, himself why the Germans ended up turning on you know, the Jews. What happened? Because there were more Jews living in Europe, in Germany than, you know, than there are in the United States. It's like, what's going on at that time?
There's a book.
Okay, well, we can listen to it again if you want. Okay, great. That would be perfect. Perfect. We'll
investigate that kind of a war crime. These were men that they murdered with. They appointed themselves judge, jury, and executioner.
At the camps. That's perfect.
See, part of this Holocaust problem is that we always start by discussing what the Germans did to the Jews. Why Hitler came. The analysis doesn't even go to the point why Hitler came. Mm-hmm. Why did Hitler convince the majority of Germans to vote for him and to be loyal to his regime? And why this phenomenon that when Germany was lying in ruins and smoldering, burned from end to end by this Allied genocidal bombing campaign, did the German population not turn on its leaders and hang them themselves? There's not a single instant where a German leader of the National Socialist Party, regardless of how bad the war went for them, was ever executed, shot from behind, taken to court, strung up in a village square. Absolutely nothing. It took the Allies 2 years to rig up their kangaroo court in Nuremberg to do these judicial murders. Now, nobody has ever analyzed why the German nation that had more Nobel Prize winners and more famous researchers and scientists and was one of the best educated countries in Europe, turn on the Jews. Why did these good Germans turn on the Jews, who had more Jews living amongst them than even percentage-wise living in the United States today? Why was that? Because they displayed the same voracious ethnocentrism, power-grabbing, influence-peddling, buying of politicians, dominating of the public airwaves and the public media in Germany and so on, that they display in the United States. And I'm not much of a prophet, but that much I can say, based on history, that in the United States, mark my word, you will have Weimar conditions, and you'll have solutions to the Weimar conditions. It will be very similar to what happened in Germany.
Right. And he's talking about, that's the end of clip one. Thank you so much for replaying it. That was very important. He's also talking about what Patton, see, there you go. There's Luca. Oh, okay, compartmentalizing. Oh, didn't Patton say something like that in 1945? Yes. Not only the fact that we killed the wrong people, right? We shot up the wrong nation, guys. He says that, and I fear that in 50 years, America will become a den of corruption and degenerate morals. What do you think is happening today? Right? Exactly that. We probably don't have time to talk about Klaus Schwab because this is directly related to him. Let's go into clip two. Now he's going to start talking about karma, okay, and where Hitler came from and why you cannot have anti-Semitism without Semitism. This is all a history lesson. It's absolutely phenomenal, on top of the fact that there was no final solution ever. He never wanted to kill anybody. Hitler only wanted to get people, the ones he disliked. He wanted them out of the country through immigration only. He's even going to show us what the policy was in Germany on Jews. Let's have a listen to clip two. And thank you for being patient on this.
I believe in karma. I believe in karma. I behave every day knowing that my karma will catch up with me. If I were to lie to you and sit here and mealy-mouth tell you stories that in my heart are not true, that's why you as an Israeli whom I never met before, most likely will never meet again, I'm witnessing before my God, my conscience, my concept of philosophy of life, exactly what I feel like, because I hope that history sent you here and that you will go back to wherever you go and say, there is a guy in Canada that has paid the price, being bombed twice, being burned out nearly twice, have been hounded by the Jewish lobby into jail cells and court case after court case, and maybe he, our enemy, is holding up a mirror to us that would be very worthwhile to look into. I'm saying to you that Adolf Hitler was an organic outgrowth of Jewish behavior and Jewish ethnocentrism in the heart of Europe.
So Jews invented Hitler, you know?
No, Jews created Hitler.
Really?
That's right. Because there is no anti-Semitism without Semitism. The one presupposes the other. Anti-Semitism only arises. And I'm not the one who invented that. Look at Theodor Herzl. You know, study Theodor Herzl's concept, you know? And every time when Jews were unhappy and wanted to have a place of their own and express themselves and so on, a reaction set in. Why not? They were, the way they behaved, irritants. And so this is what anti-Semitism means. First there is Semitism and then there's anti-Semitism, which of course is a misnomer because the Khazars of Eastern Europe are not Semites, but nevertheless we're talking about the propaganda term anti-Semitism. So Hitler was created.
What did Hitler, eventually, in your mind, after your research, was there a final solution?
No. The final solution that people talk about, that the Germans had envisioned, was a Europe without Jews through emigration. Every document that I've ever seen points in that direction. And to say that Hitler had this idea of the final solution, I remember Pierre Elliott Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, giving a speech here in Toronto in one of the sports stadiums when he was running for election. And he had the final solution to unemployment. That was to give people work. So he had no plan to gas the unemployed.
And Hitler never had any plan to kill the Jews.
During my 9-year legal trials here in Toronto, reflected in this thick red book here, 12,700 pages for the last trial, 7,000 pages for the previous trial, Raoul Hilberg, Pope of the Holocaust Promotion Lobby, never once could produce a Führer order. Now, Hitler had orders for the euthanasia and everything else that he did. Why should he be afraid not to have an order to do the most important thing, if that's what the Jews say was the most important thing, that he could get rid of the Jews? He should have proudly made the proclamation, framed it, and have it in every German government office. Why did he care for history not to record that he wanted to exterminate the Jews? But there is no such order. To this day, all these Holocaust hypocrites, to the contrary, not a single Führer order has been found. And to the embarrassment of Raoul Hilberg, who perjured himself in my first trial, in the footnote of his second edition to his book, he removed the idea of a Führer order. You know, not
there
even
was
verbally.
No order.
There was no order,
Mr.
Sander, no plan,
what was there?
No budget.
Or did it?
There were cases of Jews being executed. There were certainly, there was a policy of incarceration for certain Jews. Not all Jews. There were over 5,000 Jews alive in the capital of Adolf Hitler's Germany at the end of the Second World War. They got even their food ration cards.
In Berlin.
And they had a functioning synagogue until the Allies bombed it. It was a rabbi that came in by train from Prague to perform marriages, bar mitzvahs, and so on.
Concentration camps existed?
Of course. Of course, but
for
not for
purpose?
Jews. The population of the concentration camps in Germany, in Dachau, for instance, when the Allies took it over, 29th of April 1945, the percentage of Jews in Dachau, which was then touted by Hollywood to be the big extermination camp, was less than 12%. And in Auschwitz, the grotesque numbers that are now being flung about, first it was 4 million here. Before my trial, see, 4 million people suffered and died here at the hands of the Nazi murderers between the years 1940 and 1945. And then comes my trial, where for 2 weeks we talked about numbers with Raoul Hilberg and the others. Look, nothing is on the tablets anymore, because the Poles finally saw the light, a little egged on by a worldwide media campaign through internet, television, satellite broadcast, radio broadcast, and so on. And now it took them till 1995 to agree on another set of lies.
Another set of lies.
Yeah, right. So now, here they say it was 1.5 million, 1.5 million. And in the other articles that I have dug out, we have here Daily Telegraph, Auschwitz death reduced to 1 million.
Right. See, so what you're hearing is this is his work. This is the trials that were because of his work that he uncovered. It's not a small issue. And next week, creator willing, we're going to hear clip 3 and 4. Even in my own research, the Red Cross numbers, 6 million. How about that number going back to 1820-something? I found it myself, 1869, because it sounds good. It's a number that was always used. 6 million sounds great. You know, it's called atrocity propaganda in this case. You know, we'll even lie about the German gas chambers in World War I. Oh, that had to be retracted. That was proven false. You know what I'm saying? They're doing it again in World War II. Okay. You're not supposed to know that, Luca. Real Red Cross numbers in all the camps combined, 271,307. Most of the deaths were because of the Allies bombing the routes, the Allies bombing the trains. You know, everything is flipped. If you can handle it, if you can wrap your head around it, this is what we're going to do next week in clip 3. You're going to hear his collaboration with other people, including David Irving and Robert Faurisson. Hitler's collaboration with the Jewish state, it's exactly the opposite. No gas chambers in National Socialist Germany, et cetera, et cetera. So this is very important stuff that I dug out, and I prepared these clips for us to be able to digest, because, you know, it's everywhere, and they're not hiding it anymore. So it's all on us. And this is where I love to speak from the heart at the end of the show, because, you know, it's all going to come out. My grandmother said, Luca, don't ever lie, because everything comes out in the end, okay? Everything does. Because there are people that, you know, it makes them come alive. You know, research makes us come alive. We do research. We do research, you know, and all of a sudden we come up with stuff that they don't want us to talk about. And I'm blessed to be able to speak it among you. And thank you so much for the callers as well. It really helps to be missed in a world that really has a hard time, you know, giving you a hug, you know. One of my mentors, Leo Buscaglia, would go to Europe and he's a hugger. He's Italian. You know, he's a passionate hugger, right? For those who know Leo Buscaglia. And he would go to England and it's like, no, we don't do this in England. You know, they push away from him. How horrified, you know? And it would really bother him, because he knows of our interconnectedness to each other. And, you know, the oppressor knows that oral tradition is very specific. Oral tradition does not get written down. If you don't live it and you don't remember it, too bad. It's gone. Okay? And that's how it is for a lot of tribes. But if oral tradition can be strong, and if we can listen and we can leave a place in our heart and in our life for that, we can develop the strength and the courage to do whatever it takes to be better at what we do for the world entire. I really believe that. So this is me again, you know, saying, why don't we work together, you know, and give me some feedback like Edward did, I believe, and a few other people did in the comments. It was wonderful to see that in my archives, saying good to see you, you know, and about Ernst Zündel, you know, most people don't know about this guy, and it's for very good reason, okay? And it's up to people like us to just take the time, which we have, because we have health issues, and we can't run as fast as we used to. You know, we can do everything for everybody else. You know, somebody's ranting about the Churchill speeches and the war speeches, right? And it's like, Luca, you know, in November 2000, the Observer newspaper reported that proof had been found that some of Winston Churchill's most famous wartime radio broadcasts to the British people were delivered by an impersonator, the BBC radio actor Norman Shelley. How about, I don't like that word impersonator, how about we use him? Because Churchill's drunk most of the time, or we don't know where he is, or he can't be found, or he's riding his bike drunk or something, naked. Right. You know? So you can't trust anything, but you can trust your instinct, because your instinct will never lie to you. And this is where I'm going. My instinct said, Luca, share this, it'll work. And focus on karma. Focus on saying thank you to people like I'm Wolf, Wolfgang, who led me on the right direction through, you know, these last few years. Thank you to my grandmother and, you know, my mother, who would storm in the room in the 70s when she heard Hitler's voice from the kitchen. She'd come, you know, come in and slam the TV off and say, nobody's listening to this monster in my house, and leave the room. Oh, okay. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm proud to learn about something being polar opposite than what I grew up with. Thank you for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week on Luca's World.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.